Okay. Morning. Today's daf is Kufyutes. Masechta Zrachim, 14th Perek. We're finishing up. Between today and tomorrow, we'll finish the Masechta. Friday, we begin the new Masechta. We start Menachos on Friday. Discussion we were finishing up from yesterday is where's Shiloh? Where is the city of Shiloh? Geographically, we know, but which shevet was it in? Under whose auspices was it under? So the argument the Gemara made yesterday is an argument that it was under Shevet Binyamin. Why did the Gemara make such a strong argument that it was under Shevet Binyamin? Because, as we discussed, the pasuk by Binyamin says, "Chofef alav kol hayom." Kadosh Baruch Hu hovers over Shevet Binyamin kol hayom, all the days. So there is an argument, a strong argument to make that. Anytime that you have the Hashra Shechina, the Divine Presence, resting, it's going to rest in the Shevet in Shevet Binyamin. We already discussed earlier in the Masechta how Yerushalayim is, for the most part, in Shevet Binyamin. Right? A little bit of it is in Shevet Yehuda, but only a strip of it is in Shevet Yehuda. Most of it, the majority of it, is in Shevet Binyamin. And, so Shiloh as well. Same story by Shiloh, that's under Shevet Binyamin. The Gemara, however, made an argument that perhaps it's under Yosef, under the auspices of Yosef. The Gemara says, we're going to just continue in the Gemara, we're towards the bottom of the page, we're starting with the words Kitanai. Okay, so the Braisa points out that, again, we're going back to that pasuk. So the Braisa breaks up the pasuk, segments the pasuk. Thank you. And attributes parts of the pasuk to different bate mikdash. So chofef alav ze mikdash rishon kol hayom. It's referring to the second temple, Uvenk Tafav Shachain, and between his shoulders he rested, Eli Masa Mashiach. Okay, that'll be a reference to the third base of Mikdash. Comes out according to this first opinion in the Braisa, Shiloh was not in the Shevet Binyamin because it's only temples 1, 2, and the future base of Mikdash, the third one. Rabbi Omer Chofefal Zeha Olam Azeh, Kol Ayom Eli Masa Mashiach, Uvenk Tafav Shachain, Zeha Olam Haba. And according to Rabbi, he also breaks up the pasuk, but a reference to this world, the Yemos HaMashiach, and Olam Haba. Okay, period. Obviously, many issues which I'm bypassing over here. First of all, in this Braisa, there's clear distinction between Yemos HaMashiach and Olam Haba. Those are two different areas, two different arenas. Okay, that's an end of the Sanhedrin discussion. Not for us right now, but anyway, but the point that Gemara is making is that where exactly Shiloh was situated, was it in Shevet Binyamin, was it not Shevet Binyamin? It seems to be that these are the two positions over here that are mentioned. Tanur Rabbanan, we continue the Gemara, and we quote Seder Olam. Okay, we've quoted Seder Olam in the past, and we're going to quote it again right now. Seder Olam is written by Rav Yossi ben Chalafta. It is history. It is history, our version of history, the Jewish version of history. I mentioned a number of times in the past that there is discrepancy between our version of the history and the Ummah Sa'olam and their version of history. I told you when I was getting an education, so it's always inculcated, it's ingrained into our heads that the first temple was destroyed in the year 586. Okay? That's not according to Seder Olam. According to Seder Olam, the 586 before the Common Era, right? Okay, according to Seder Olam, the temple was not destroyed then, but rather was destroyed something much closer to 421 before the Common Era. So about a 150-year discrepancy between Seder Olam and what is generally assumed to be the correct Masara. When we learn Gemara, we're going to assume Seder Olam. Seder Olam is the tradition that the Gemara works with. That is the historical tradition. So, Olam Moed existed in the desert for 40 years. 40 years minus 1. Right? We see that expression used so many times. 40 minus 1. For Malchus, it's 40 minus 1. For Malachas Shabbos, it's 40 minus 1. Right? 40 minus 1 is popular. So it's a popular terminology. So the time that the Olam Moed was situated in the desert was 40 years minus 1. That's 39 years. Yemei Olam Moed Shebe Gilgal. How many years was it set up in Gilgal? Arba Asar. 14 years. Zayin Shekif Shebe Zayin Shechilku. 7 years of conquering the land. 7 years of dividing the land. Yemei Olam Moed Shebe Nova Givon. Chamishim V'Sheva. Okay, now how many times am I wrong? Too often to count. way too often to count. But I've said 52 years. I stand corrected. It's 57 years. 57 years for Novan Givan Ishtairu L'Shilo. So now, we have our numbers for today, our lottery numbers for today are 40, 14, and 57. Okay, 40 for the desert, 39. 14, 39. 39, I know. Right, 39, right. From, 40 minus 1. All right, 39 years in the desert, 14 years in Gilgal, and 57 years in Novan Givan. Okay, now take those numbers and deduct it from 480. Why do I say 480? Because in the beginning of Sefer Melachim, when the Navi tells us that Shlomo HaMelech built the temple, it said 480 years after we leave Egypt. Okay? So take those numbers and deduct it from 480, and the magic number you'll get to is 369. Okay? And that's the numbers of years that Shiloh existed. Again, let me just quickly review. 480 years in total. Right? That's a straight pasuk straight out of the beginning of Melachim. Sefer Melachim, I think the sixth parak, if I am correct, which is not that often these days. But so it's 480 years from the time that we leave Egypt until the time that the first temple was built. Okay, and now you're going to deduct the years 39. It's funny. We're gonna say 40 in my numbering.
Right.
So I did 40.
Right.
Okay, I made a little chart over here on my Gemara. Yeah. So it was 40 for the Midbar, 14 for the division, the conquering and the dividing of the land,
Gilgal.
Another 57 years in Gilgal. Take those numbers, add them up, that's 111, subtract 111 out of 40, out of 480, and you're going to end up with 369. That's the number of years that there was a temple in Shiloh.
The numbers you gave, 14 and... these are also from Pesukim?
No. Now, a lot of these numbers are not from Pesukim. Some of these numbers are. Some of these numbers are not. Some of these numbers are just tradition. Right? That's why we have Seder Olam. Seder Olam is the tradition, the Torah Shebaal Peh, in terms of what some of these numbers are. Some of these numbers are documented. The Gemara is itself going to tell you, like certain numbers straight out of Pesukim, 480 straight out of the Pesukim. Certain numbers, 14 years for conquering and dividing the land, not mentioned. Not mentioned in Sefer Yehoshua, that it took 14 years to do so. Okay? Yesh v'yesh. So, Nishtairu, l'Shiloh, so that leaves for Shiloh, Gimel Meot, 300, v'shivim chasar achad, and 70 minus 1, otherwise known as 369. Yemei ol Moshe b'midbar b'im chasar achas minalan, and now we are going to go step by step. Each one of these numbers that we've talked about, we're either going to establish based on psukim, based on deduction, or just simply based on tradition. Or I'll give you another option, based on svara, based on logic. Usually history is not based on logic, but I'm saying, you'll see. So some of them based on logic. Tanu Rabbanan, not there. Yemei Ol Moed, first wide line on the page. Yemei Ol Moed, Shebemidbar, Bem Chasar Acha Minalan. How do I know the Ol Moed lasted for 40 years minus one? Damar Mar. Shana Rishona Asa Moshe Asa Mishkan. So the first year Moshe made the Mishkan. Now we left Egypt on the 14th day of Nisan, right? Agreed?
Agreed.
Right? Well, the night after. The 14th day, we actually shechted the Karban Pesach, so we left that night. Okay. By the way, it was a Thursday night that we left Pesach. That's a tradition.
Huh? And it was Yom Tov.
And it was Yantif. Asa Moshe, Asa Mishkan. Shnia hu kama Mishkan. Now the second year, meaning so if you, it took a full year before Hakama Asa Mishkan, because the Mishkan was set up on the first day of Nisan of the next year, so it wasn't a totally full year, but pretty close though. We left on the 15th day of Nisan, and the Mishkan was set up almost a full year later, minus 2 weeks, on the first day of Nisan. V'shalach Moshe Meraglim, and Moshe sent out the spies, and we know the rest of that story. Okay. Shebegilgal Arba Asrei Shana, Arba Asrei, now. So that's 40 years in the desert. Now we go to Gilgal. Gilgal we had 14 years, right? Sheva Shekivshu V'sheva Shechilku, 7 years of conquering, 7 years of dividing, Minalan. So how do I know that? Where do we get these numbers from? Dekamer Kalev. Ben Arba'im Shana Anochi B'Shiloch Moshe Eved Hashem Osi Mikadesh Barnei L'Ragel Asa Aretz. So in the 14th parak of Yehoshua, Kalev reports that he was 40 years old. He was a 40-year-old man when he was sent to spy out the land by Moshe.
First time
sending out the land. L'ragal asarz v'ashivo so davar kasher im levavi, and I answered according to my heart. And of course we all know what that means, meaning the spies wanted to say one thing and I went with my heart, meaning I knew what was right. Kashim levavi uksim, and then the pasuk goes on to say vatahine anochi hayom ben 85 shana. So, and now I'm 85 years of age. Okay, so this is deduction. Now, this is a part of the Gemara we're going to use deduction in order to get to the number 14. The number we want to get to is the number 14, and we're going to use Kalev as our guide in terms of deducing. Here are the two numbers that we know. We know that he was 40 when he was sent as a spy, and we know that he was 85 when he's speaking at this point in time. So, so when they crossed over the Jordan, how old was he? So he was 38. Sorry, I 38. Right, I just what I do to him. 78 years of age. Okay, so the spies were sent out. So he was 40 when the spies were sent out. So 78 when he crossed over the Jordan River. And so now, v'kamar ben chamesh v'shmonim shana. So now he says, I'm 85. Okay. Hare sheva shekibshu v'sheva shechokom in. Okay, fine, period. Okay. 85 minus 78.
8.
Huh?
Let me say 85.
He says he's
87.
So that's 7 years. Okay. So that's 7 years. So good. So that's how we get to the point that there were 7 years of conquering the land. Okay, v'kamar ben chamesh v'shmonim shana, harei sheva shekivshu. So good. So that gets us to the point that there were 7 years of conquering the land. Okay, Kalev is speaking at this point in time in Sefer Yehoshua before the land was actually divided. Fine. Meaning this is the midpoint of Sefer Yehoshua. I mentioned yesterday this is where most people, when they learn Sefer Yehoshua, drop out because it gets really technical after that point in time. But this is this is before the division of the land. The second half of the book of Yehoshua is about dividing the land. So now we've established, using deduction, using the age of Kalev, we've now shown that 7 years it took to conquer the land. Good. What about the next seven? So v'sheva shechuk minalan, how do I know that it took 7 years to divide the land? So he by thema, so the Gemara says, midisheva shekivshu shevanam shechuku. Here's what I told you earlier this morning. Svara. The Gemara just throws out logic. Well, if it took 7 years to conquer the land, it's going to take 7 years to divide the land.
I would think it would take 1 year to divide.
Okay. Funny, if you ask me, I would say it takes a lot longer. It's much harder to divide the land than it is to conquer the land. Conquering is easy. Dividing means I'm going to get this and you're going to get that. That's negotiation.
Yeah.
Right?
But the lottery, so it was all free.
What's it called? We're on tape right now, so you can tell me later on how correct I was or not. But you're going to see how long it's going to take the NFL to fix their labor negotiation problem. It's not going to be as easy as people think. It's negotiation. Negotiation's tough. It's svara. It's logic. So you know we can throw out many different arguments. The Gemara is just simply saying, look, it's an argument. 7 years to conquer, 7 years to divide. Okay. Right. So those 14 years, in other words, right. The Gemara says those 14 years, Bamos were permitted. But we're just right now, and it's going to be a good part of our day today, we're just going to try to establish where do we get these numbers from. We know the numbers, but where are they coming from? So the 7 years of conquering that we get from Kalev. 7 years of dividing, so the Gemara starts off by throwing out an argument. Good. Let's continue. Another suggestion. Okay, so how do I know that 14 years in Gilgal? So one way we did it was Kalev says he was 85 years of age. We know he was 78 when he entered into the land. So that's 7 years of conquering. And then Svara, 7 years of conquering, 7 years of dividing. Another way to do it, midelo mishkach Allah, ba'arba esrei shana. Achar asher hukta ha'ir. Okay. It's got to be 14 years. It's got to be that after we entered into the land of Israel, it took 14 years to build Shiloh and to set up Shiloh. Otherwise, we're not going to know pshat in the pasuk in Yechezkel. Okay. Now, this is going to take a while, so please stay with me over here. We have a pasuk in Yechezkel, in the 40th parak of Yechezkel, and it says, in the 14th year after the city was destroyed. So Yechezkel is giving some vision of the destruction of the temple, but he says it was 14 years. What's he talking about? So it's a very lengthy Rashi. I'm going to cut a little bit into Rashi. Today's daf, not today's daf, but this daf, the one right now, it doesn't have Tosfos. Rashi's on both columns. And what we're going to do is I'm going to start from the top of the second column. It's the middle of the Rashi. Right, where Rashi over here takes us through the Gemara's deduction. It's funny, the Gemara assumes we know so much. Without Rashi, we'd be so lost at this point in the Gemara, because the Gemara says, you know, that pasuk in Yechezkel, you don't know pshat. But now that we assume that's 14 years, now we know pshat. There's so much information that you need to know just to understand what's going on over here. Ketzad. So I'm going to start at the top of the second column, right in the middle of the line, where Rashi writes Ketzad. So as we already discussed, 480 years, total of 480 years after we left Egypt until the building of the first temple. I told you, that's the pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Malachim. Okay, now first of all, take 40 right off the top, because those are 40 years that were in the desert. Okay, and obviously, there was no temple to talk about. Okay, so, fine, so now the magic number we're going to start with is 440. Okay, 480 minus 40, so that's 440. Nimsa mishabola arts ashiniv na bais arbamiot varabaim. Okay, so from the time they were entered into the land of Israel until the first temple was built was 440 years. Vabais amad dal meot veser. Now the first temple lasted for 410 years. So now 440 plus 410, so that gives us 850. Harechas meot vechamishim. Okay? So from the time that we entered into Israel until the destruction of the first temple was 850 years. Okay. Hare Yud Zayin Yovlos. Now how many Yovels is that?
Wow.
Okay, so that's 17? Right? Pretty straightforward, simple math. Okay, 17 Yovlos, Yovels 50 years. We're going to assume in this discussion that the Yovel year is an independent year. Right, we've talked about this in the past, how that's a machlokus amongst the Tanayim, whether the Yovel year is independent or it's counted as the first year of the next cycle. We're going to assume that it's an independent year. So therefore, just look at 850, break it up into units of 50, and that gives you 17. So Hare Yudzayin Yovlo Shleimim. Seimehem Yudal Shekibshu V'Shechilku. Now, what you'll do is you'll slice 14 years off of that, because we don't start counting Yovel until we're settled in the land. Settled in the land means dividing the land and conquering the land. So you get, and it took 14 years to do that. Shalom Manu Yovlos, because we didn't count Yovels during those 14 years. Nimsa Bais Charav Kodem Hashlamas HaYovel Yudalat Shana. Now that we're here, so really we don't start counting Yovel in year 1 when we enter into Israel, but we start counting Yovel year 14.
15.
Or year 15, right? So now it comes out that all you do now is take those 14 years, move it to the end, and it comes out now that the temple was destroyed, first temple, was destroyed not on a Yovel year, 14 years before the Yovel year. Okay. V'hachi tanya be'edja be'erachin. Now, when we get to Erechin together, which will be shortly, about a half a year from now, so Yud, a little bit more. Yud Zayin Yovlos Manu Yisrael Mishenichnasu La'aretz Ad Sheyatzu. So they counted 17 Yovlos from when they entered the land until the first temple was destroyed. Manu. Now you cannot say that we started counting Yovel the year that we entered. Shemata Omer Kenimsa Bais Charab B'Tchilas Yovel. Because then it turns out that the temple, first temple, was destroyed on the Yovel year. Now, says Rashi, if that were true, then we wouldn't have pshat in Sefer Yechezkel. Because Sefer Yechezkel says, 14 years after the city was destroyed, we are counting Yovel. Okay. Right? So now that you put all the information that I gave you, it's a lot of information. If you put it all together, you realize that if we started counting the year 1 when we enter into Israel, So then we don't. Then what's Yecheskel talking about? 14 years after the destruction, now we're here at Yovel. What do you mean? Yovel should have been on the year that the temple was actually destroyed, because the year the temple was destroyed was year 850 from the first year that we entered into the land of Israel. It must be that we didn't start counting on year one. It must have been that there's a 14-year hiatus from counting. Okay? And that's the pasuk in Yecheskel. Okay, so that's, again, more deduction, right? Very good deduction. It gives us a great big historical span over there. But that's another deduction in terms of how we know that Gilgal lasted for 14 years. Okay, good. And but by the way, that doesn't give us a 7 plus 7, right? We still, in other words, there is no pasuk that indicates that it was 7 years of conquering and 7 years of dividing. Okay, so those Gilgal years we get to, but nowhere explicitly.
No, so, there is not, because it's that the age of Yahushua will tell us that.
But we don't know. In other words, the Navi never guides us through what his ages were at what point in time.
Oh.
Okay, back to the Gemara. Okay, fine. And we're at the two dots with three lines from the bottom of the page. Oh, four lines. Oh, Moshe Benov V'Givon Chamishim V'Sheva. Okay? So now, we did 14 years of Gilgal, 369 of Shiloh. The Gemara's never going to bother, because all we're going to do is establish all the other years, deduct it from 480, and that's where we're going to get to 369 of Shiloh. So the 369 of Shiloh, of course, that's a long, it's a solid chunk of time.
It's a plug.
But that's right. That's going to be the product of all of our equation. All we're doing right now is we're setting up our numbers so we know what numbers to deduct from 480. Okay? So we're going to now fast forward to Nov and Givon. So Nov and Givon, we're a total of 57 years. Minale. So how do I get that? So the Gemara is going to take us now for the 57 years of Nov and Givon. Shiloh was destroyed by the Plishtim. The Aron was taken away. Aron was kept in. First, it was taken away by the Plishtim. It's a whole story about the Aron. Aron staying with the Plishtim. Plishtim couldn't handle the Aron. Plishtim were attacked by plague. The Aron was returned. The Aron was kept in a place called Kiryat Ya'arim, Telstone, for anyone who speaks that. So. And if you know Telstone nowadays, you'd realize Aron's a pretty appropriate place for the Telstone happens to be a pretty appropriate place for the Aron. The Hika Hazkiro is Aron Elokim. The Tana. We learned in a Braisa. Kishames Eli Akon Charva Shiloh. So when Eli dies, Eli was told that the Aron was taken and falls back on his chair and breaks his neck and he dies. And so the death of Eli is when Shiloh was destroyed. Uvalanov, and they go to the city of Nov. Kishamesh Shmuel Aramasi, Chavanov. Now Shmuel dies, and Nov is destroyed, right? Nov is destroyed by Shaul. Uval Givon, they go to the city of Givon. Uksibahimi Yomsham, Shevas Aaron, Bikir Ya'arim, and the Aaron is in Kiryas Ya'arim, Vayirbu Yamin, Vayuasrim Shana, Vayinu called Beis Yisrael Acharei Hashem. Okay, so now there are 20 years being reported over here of the Aron being in Kiryat Yarim. Hani Esrim Shana, Esther Shana Shamalach Shmuel Ba'atzmo. Now what the Gemara is going to do is just simply subdivide for us these 20 years. 20 years of the Aron being in Kiryat Yarim. So 10 years where Shamalach Shmuel Ba'atzmo, that Shmuel himself reigned. Okay, the Gemara over here calls Shmuel a king. Okay, we don't normally use that kind of language when we refer to Shmuel, but he was, meaning he was the leader. So, okay, so Shmuel ruled by himself for 10 years. Vishana Shemalach Shmuel Vishmuel Vishaul. 1 year, Shmuel and Shaul reigned together. Okay, sure, Shaul was more the king. Shmuel was kind of like his advisor. So Shemalach Shmuel Vishaul Vishtaim Shemalach Shaul. 2 years was Shaul ruled by himself. Visheva did David, and then 7 years of David ruling in Chevron. Okay? So you put these numbers together, 10 plus 1 plus 2 plus 7, that'll give you your 20 years where the Aron was in Kiryas Ya'arim. Dichsiv, just wait, let's just get through. It's okay, just give me a couple more minutes. Dichsiv vayamim asher malach David al Yisrael mem shana, v'chevron malach zayin shanim, so 7 years in Chevron. Uvishlamo ksiv, okay, so that's now a total of 20 years. Don't forget the 33 years that David himself ruled, okay, in Yerushalayim. Uvishlamo ksiv vayichalav nosa b'shnatzar balamachuso. And by Shlomo, we know that it took him 4 years before he completed the building of the first temple. So now, 20 years of the Aron being in Kiryas Yarim, we subdivided that. 10 years of Shmuel, 1 year of Shaul together with Shmuel, 2 years of Shaul by himself, 7 years of David and Chevron. That's the 20 years of the Aron being in Kiryas Yarim. 33 years of David ruling in Yerushalayim, where he took the Aron and moved it, but still did not have a place to move it to. Then 4 years of...
It was in Yerushalayim,
correct. And then 4 years of Shlomo taking to build the temple. Put all those numbers together, you got a total now of 57. 57 years, okay? Fine. That is the 57 years that we existed in Ovin Givon. So the Gemara says, exactly that.
And
so,
correct.
Vayachal Ivnosa Bishnat Sarbala Machuso Nishtairu Lashilo, that leaves for Shiloh now. Good. So this is it. In other words, now we have all the numbers. We're going to put all the numbers together. 40 years in the desert, 14 years. By the way, it is 40 years in the desert because 39 is after the Mishkan was set up. But in other words, but don't forget, there was still a full year they were in the desert. So that's 40 years in the desert, 14 years of Gilgal. Right, 7 years of capturing, 7 years of conquering, 7 years of dividing, plus a total of 57 years in Ovin Givon. That gets you to 111 in total. 480 years from the year that we left Egypt to the year that the first temple was built. 480 minus 111, 369. So that's where the Gemara ends off. Shlosh Meos v'Shivim Chaser Achas. 369 years where Shiloh was there. Okay, so. In terms of actual psukim, we don't have a lot. We don't have a lot of psukim that give us the years. We do have the big number 480, but then how to subdivide that into Gilgal, Shiloh, Nov Givon. So that is based a lot on Mesorah, deduction, and a little bit of Svara. Okay. Any questions? Yeah.
We learned previously that the ark came back to Beit Shemesh first, then they moved it to Kiryat. Is that...
It did stop over in Beit Shemesh a little bit. Okay, that's correct. All right, let's go on. Baal and Ovin Givon, they go to Ovin Givon. Minan Emilatan Rabbanan. Okay, between Shiloh and Yerushalayim, so there was 57 years as we just reported. During these 57 years, so Bamos were back on the table. Back the heter of Bamos was reinstated, so that you and I can go into our backyards and offer in our backyards again. So, how do we get there? Meaning, how do we know that? How do we know that there's a Heter Bamos that existed? When we go into Eretz Yisrael, so fine, so there was no Mishkan that was set up. So, Gilgal was there, but Gilgal was just a temporary location. So fine, so we have a Heter Bamos. But after Shiloh was constructed, and during those 369 years of Shiloh, there was no Heter Bamos. So how do I know that after Shiloh was destroyed, and if we have 57 years, how do I know that I can actually offer Bamos in my backyard again? Where do we see that? So we go back to this pasuk. This pasuk gets a lot of playtime in the 14th perek, because this pasuk really is the source. Parshas Re'eh is really the source of the Heter Bamos. You didn't get to the point of Menucha and Nachala. El HaMenucha Zu Shiloh. Nachala Zu Yerushalayim. So Menucha, that's code word for Shiloh. And Nachala, that's code for Yerushalayim. Lama Chilkan, why does the Pasuk divide them? So Kedei Litein Heter Bein Zeh LaZeh, so that we know that there's going to be a little gap in between the two of them. And during that little historical gap, which now we're going to call 57 years, so there's going to be a Heter, there's going to be an ability, a permission to actually offer Karbanos in your backyard. Amalei Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan, Maaser Sheni, Nami, Lifnei. So, what about Maaser Sheni? Okay, now Maaser Sheni, what do I do with Maaser Sheni? I eat Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, right? It's mine. First 2% is Truma, that I give to the Kohen. Next 10% is Maaser Rishon, that I give to the Levi. And the next 10%, well, it depends which year we are in the Shemitah year, but in years 1, 2, 4, and 5, so those years I give off Maaser Sheni. That's 10%. I don't give it to anybody. I take it off. I take off another 10% of the remainder. And I bring that fruit, produce up to Yerushalayim, and I eat it in Yerushalayim. Okay. So now, what do I do with Maaser Sheni during these 57 years?
They definitely took it to Shiloh.
Can see it.
No, you can
see.
Right, right. So... Right, the questioner is assuming. You're right. The questioner is assuming that Shiloh is not even a discussion.
But
you're correct about that.
We're talking about Novan Givon, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Correct. Which is what Rabbi Tirshel is pointing out, that the assumption going into this question is that by Shiloh they took it up to Shiloh for sure.
The question is: Was there a wall for them to eat with that?
No. No.
So we're already supposed to eat.
Right. So that's part of the question. So Amalei Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan Maaser Sheni Nami Lisnei. So Amalei Maaser Sham Me Aaron Kayalfi Came into Aaron Lohave Maaser Nami Lohave. So the Gemara says no, because we base it on Exereshav of Sham Sham, meaning that whatever is true regarding Maaser Sheni is also going to be true by. I'm sorry. Let me say it again. The eating of Maaser Sheni, the consumption of Maaser Sheni, is a contingency on the Aron. If the Aron is not there, and the Aron was not in Nov, and the Aron was not in Givon, the Aron was in Shiloh. The Aron was in Yerushalayim, but it was not in Nov and Givon. So therefore, there is no requirement to take Maaser Sheni to eat it over there. So now, by the way, also just another thing to consider. This give and take between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan is a little bit confusing. The Gemara is addressing the question, well, didn't they take Maaser Sheni to Nov and Givon? During Nov and Givon, there was Heter Bamos. You can eat your Shlamim outside of Nov and Givon. Meaning if you offered Shlamim in your backyard, so you can eat your Shlamim in your backyard. It's a little bit strange that what the Gemara here is suggesting is that when it comes to your Shlamim, you can eat that anywhere in Yerushalayim. When it comes to Maaser Sheni, that you have to eat in Nov and Givon? It's a little...
But it generally doesn't say Elamoka Nashir
Bokharajah. Right.
So that could be Nov and
Givon. But it's not. Nov and Givon, I understand that, but Nov and Givon is not. It's not, it's just, it's a place in between. It's a temporary location in between. It's not a chosen place. It just happens to be that while Shiloh is not there, so it's a right. So Ihachi Pesavikachim Nami Deshamshami Aaron Yalfi, the Kamer the Aaron Lohavu, Inu Nami Lohavu. So the Gemara says, look, if you're telling me that there's a contingency on the Aaron, so what about your Karban Pesach? Well, what are you going to tell me? You're not going to offer your Karban Pesach? 57 years they didn't offer the Karban Pesach, that's just untenable. So the Gemara says, Amale Damalach, Khamani Rabbi Shimani Damar Aftsibor Lo Ikrivu, Ela Pesach Vechova Sakavulam Zman. Abachova Shein Kavulam Zman, Hachva Hachalo Krav. So the Gemara says, well, look, according to Rabbi Shimon, remember, the Rabbi Shimon that we were introduced to yesterday and the day before yesterday, he says that any carbon that's not time-bound, that has no date prescribed in terms of when to bring it, so Rabbi Shimon says you didn't bring it. You just simply didn't bring it. You didn't bring it in your backyard, for sure not, because your backyard, you only brought Neder and Adava, and you didn't bring it in Nov and Givon as well. So according to Rabbi Shimon, so you didn't bring your Bechor, your Maaser Behemah. Okay, interesting note, by the way. What did they do with the Bechor during those 57 years?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but there was no place to offer it. You couldn't offer it anywhere. So, okay.
Don't you kill it?
I love it when I stump myself. Well, they have to wait. They have to wait till they get a mum. Right. I mean, no, Bechor is non-redeemable. Bechor is non-redeemable. Okay, so, right, so, I'm sorry. So the Gemara says, "Ma'aser behema chovah shein kavul lahem zman hu." So the Gemara says, so we know that ma'aser behema is an obligation that's not time bound, it's not date bound. So therefore, v'itzkish ma'aser dagan la ma'aser behema. And now what we'll do is we'll connect ma'aser dagan to ma'aser behema. They are connected, right? The Rashi gives psukim in terms of giving us the connection between ma'aser behema and ma'aser dagan. So I don't see the Rashi right now. Okay, anyway, so it comes out like this. According to Rabbi Shimon, really the discussion never gets on the table. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, you didn't offer Meister Behema, you didn't in Gilgal. If you didn't offer Meister Behema in Gilgal, Meister Sheni and Meister Behema are linked together. They're both Meister. So therefore, you didn't have to bring your Meister Sheni as well. Mechlal de Rabbi Yehuda Krav. So, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, that means it was offered in. According to Rabbi Yehuda, yes, Meister Sheni was actually eaten in Novan Givon. Why? Because Meister Behema was brought to Novan Givon. Because remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda, any obligatory karbanos are brought in Novan Givon, even if it's not date bound, even if there's no time on the calendar where I have to bring it, like your Meister Behema, like your Bechor. So if Meister Behema was brought to Novan Givon, Meister Sheni was brought to Novan Givon. So what the Gemara basically does is it sets it up. The discussion between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. Do I bring Meister Sheni to Novan Givon? So now we're going to say it's a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, no, because I don't bring Meister Behema to Novan Givon. Therefore, I have no requirement to bring Meister Sheni to Novan Givon. According to Rabbi Yehuda, yes. Since I bring Meister Behema to Novan Givon, I equally bring Meister Sheni to Novan Givon as well. Vahavai Bira, the Gemara says, Novan Givon didn't have an Aron. It didn't have an edifice. It didn't have a base of Mikdash. So the Gemara says, V'laftini Rav Yosef Shalosh Biras Hain, Shilo, Novan Givon, Beis Olamim. So the Gemara says that's not true. Or that's not... there is an opinion out there that Novan Givon was considered a bira, was considered a Beis HaMikdash to a degree. So Utani Lavuam Alal Achilas Maaser Sheni Vali B'Rav Yehuda. In that, in Novan Givon, what does it mean it's a bira? There wasn't a building, it didn't have a construction, didn't have an edifice. It means, this. The way we're going to understand the Braisa, is that Novan Givon is considered a Makom Kadosh, so that you're required to bring your Maaser Sheni over to Novan Givon. Okay, so question that started between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. During these 57 years of Novan Givon, where do I eat my Meister Sheni? We're going to now say it's subject to a debate. And according to Rav Yehuda, who says that Novan Givon had a Beis HaMikdash quality to it, right? Didn't have a building, didn't have an edifice, but it had a Beis HaMikdash quality to it. So therefore, according to Rav Yehuda, I bring Meister Sheni to Novan Givon. According to Rabbi Shimon, I don't bring it to Novan Givon. Didn't have this quality to it, and therefore my Sheni could be eaten anywhere in Eretz Yisrael during those 57 years.
Surviving Kohanim.
Bikurim, I guess no. I guess it wasn't brought. And maybe, I don't know, maybe according to Rabbi Yehuda it was. Maybe. Okay, speculation, I don't know. Right, agreed. Agreed.
What happens to
destination? Well,
Karban Pesach.
Right, but those are kavu zman. So even according to Rabbi Shimon, who is the most lenient opinion in terms of what is actually brought in Novan Givon, but once it's kavu zman, it's a chova kavu zman. So then you bring it.
This one would think you have Novan Givon village.
Right.
That was a million too.
Yeah, I mean that's the conclusion. How it actually worked, I don't know, but that's even according to Rabbi Shimon, for sure Karban Pesach was brought in Novan Givon.
1.2.
1.2. Yeah, but that's only during the Second Temple. I mean, you know, here it's a little bit smaller. Okay, Barli Yerushalayim, we get now move to Yerushalayim. Tan Rabbanan Ki Lo Batam Arata El Menucha Vel Anachla. So again, we go back to this pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. You didn't get to Menucha and you didn't get to Nachla. Menucha is Ushilo, Nachla is Yerushalayim. And Menucha is code for Shilo, and Nachla is code for Yerushalayim. Va'omer. And now we're going to cite Psukim in Tanakh that show you the connection between the word Nachla and Yerushalayim. So So one pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, "Haisali nachalasi ke'aryeh b'ya'ar." I was like a nachala, like a lion in the forest. Ve'omer, and the pasuk goes on to say, "Ha'ayit savua nachalasali." The ayit, some sort of bird.
Vulture,
I think. Right. Some bird of prey.
Vulture.
Okay. Ha'ayit savua, the colored vulture nachalasali was my nachla. Ha'ayit saviv aleha. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, and all the other birds that were around it, meaning all the neighboring regions around it. But anyway, you see from these psukim that Nachala refers to some sort of permanent destination. These psukim, by the way, don't actually say that Nachala is Yerushalayim. There is no pasuk that explicitly states that Nachala is Yerushalayim, but these psukim do indicate that Nachala is some sort of permanent destination. It's what we call Yerushalayim. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, this is all the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon's going to take a very interesting approach. Rabbi Shimon Omer Menucha Zushalim Nachla Zushilo. He flips it. Right? In that pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, Nachla, according to Rabbi Shimon, is Shilo, and Menucha is Yerushalayim. Now, there's going to be obvious problems with this position, but before we get to the obvious problems, first let's just flesh it out a little bit. Va'omer Zos Menucha Si Ade'ad Po Eshev. Ki avisei, right? I desired this place. So this pasuk in Tehillim does give the sense that menucha means this is the final destination, otherwise known as Yerushalayim. Ve'omer ki bachar Hashem b'tzion iva l'moshev lo. Because Baruch Hu has selected Tzion iva l'moshev lo. He wanted, right? Iva from the word tava. He wanted l'moshev lo to settle there. So again, you see that this Menucha location seems to be a final destination. Okay. Now we'll deal with the obvious problems. Bishlam Laman Dama Menucha Zushila Hainu Dichsev Al Menucha Vel Anachala. So, you know, the first opinion, the Rav Yehuda position, which is the one that we've been saying throughout this entire parak, that Menucha Shilo Nachala is Yerushalayim, it works because it's historical and it's chronological. Right. Menucha, that's Shilo, 369 years. Kilo batam ad ata el ha-menucha, that's Shilo, and el ha-nachala, and that's Yerushalayim. So chronologically, it works. But, laman da'amar, el ha-man-da'amar, menucha zu Yerushalayim, nachala zu Shilo, el ha-nachala el ha-menucha mi-ba'ile. So, obviously, if menucha is a reference to Yerushalayim, Pasuk would come out sounding a lot better if the Pasuk would have said, El ha nachala Shilo ve el ha menucha Yerushalayim. So, how do you understand the pasuk? Hachi kamar. So, we'll understand the pasuk like this: Lo mi baye. Right? It's a style which we usually explain Mishnayos with, and it's the style that we're going to take and we're going to apply it to this pasuk. Lo mi baye menucha de lo matisu ela afilu la nachala nami lo matisu. It's right. It goes without saying. Lo mi bai kamar means it goes without saying. Menucha de lo matisu. You didn't get to Yerushalayim, right? But ela afilu la nachla nami lo matisu. Meaning, you're going to enter into Israel, and you're going to have 14 years in which nothing was set up. So you can then do what you want. You want to offer in your backyards. So lo mi bai. It goes without saying that you don't have Yerushalayim. But you don't even have Shilo. Meaning you don't have anything yet, and that gives you the allowance to offer wherever you want to offer. That's how we'll explain the pasuk. Certainly not the simple pshat, but it's a way to defend the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Tana debe Rabbi Yishmael. Now, you'll say there can't be any more opinions about this matter, and I'm telling you there are going to be two more opinions about this matter of what is Menucha versus what's Nachala. Okay? Tana debe Rabbi Yishmael. Zuvazu Shilo. Menucha and Nachala is a reference to Shilo. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Zuvazu Yerushalayim. And according to the Rashbi, it's both a reference to Yerushalayim. Okay. Rashi points out a couple of interesting things. Let's go to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. The Beit Rabbi Shmuel says that it's both referring to Shilo. Okay? What does that mean? It means that after the destruction of the temple in Yerushalayim, bummers are back on the table. Right? Well, meaning, we've been saying pretty clearly for a good part of the 14th parak that after Yerushalayim, that's it. Meaning, Yerushalayim is final destination, and that's it. And you can't offer bamas after Yerushalayim, even after the destruction of Yerushalayim. Right? Because the Kedusha of Yerushalayim continues. So Rashi points out that Rabbi Yishmael disagrees with that. According to the opinion of the Academy of Rabbi Yishmael, Yerushalayim is not final destination. Menucha and Nachla are both referring to Shiloh. That would mean that after the destruction of Yerushalayim, you can offer outside of Yerushalayim. In fact, Rashi quotes the Gemara Megillah, right? Famous Gemara Megillah, famous because I know it. So it's the only reason. So the Gemara says, "Kidamina beMegillah Shamati." I'm reading the last couple lines of Rashi. Shamati Shema Kriven beBeis Chonya bezmanazeh. So there are people offering karbanos bezmanazeh even nowadays. Nowadays meaning bezman haGemara in the temple of Chonyo. Now the temple of Chonyo has its own little history story to it. I'm not going to go through the history right now, but there was a temple in Chonyo. I believe it was in Egypt. Okay, does anyone want to?
I think Alexandria.
Alexandria in Egypt. Okay, sounds like people agree. So it means to have a better chance of being right. So and the Gemara Megillah reports that people were offering outside. Now, this is well after the destruction of the second temple. How can you do that? You can't offer even after destruction of the temple. And Rashi points out they follow the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. Because according to Rabbi Yishmael, Yerushalayim, after its destruction, you're allowed to bring bamos outside of Yerushalayim. Okay, good. That's point number one I'd like to go over. Point number two I'd like to go over is that according to the Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, so Menucha and Nachla are both talking about Yerushalayim. Okay, what does that make Shiloh? Okay, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, and you'll understand, everyone understands, I don't mean this disrespectfully. It means Shiloh is nothing.
Until the temple's built.
Right, it means Shiloh is nothing. That means that according to the Rashbi, during those 369 years of Shiloh, you can offer bamas in your backyard. Right. Because the only time that there is an Isser of Bama is either during the period of Menucha or during the period of Nachla. According to the Rashbi, if Menucha and Nachla are both going on Yerushalayim, so that means Shiloh is, in this regard, nothing.
Stepping stone. Why? No, it's not. It's stepping stone.
Okay, but it's not Menucha and it's not Nachla. So legally, it's nothing. So good. So that means that according to the Rashbi, you are allowed to offer in your backyard from the time that we walked into Eretz Yisrael all the way until the construction of the first temple, meaning those 440 years.
So according to you could only bring Korban Pesach on Shiloh.
No.
No, what? According to the Rashbi?
Yeah.
So no, Korban Pesach. No, you can't offer Korban Pesach in your backyard because that's a Chovat
Shiloh.
In Shiloh, yes.
That's the only thing you could bring.
That's what you would bring in Shiloh, but your voluntary offerings you could actually bring in your backyard.
According to Shiloh, once Shiloh,
right? Shiloh, once there's Shiloh, there's no heter bamos, and after the destruction of Shiloh, there is a heter bamos. Yerushalayim suspends it. Yeah, that's it's interesting. According to the Academy of Rabbi Shmuel, during that Yerushalayim period, why is there an iser bamos? Meaning, I can't imagine that there's a heter bamos during Yerushalayim. But I don't know why. I don't know how to articulate it. Bishlam alamanda amar. Let's just do a little more Gemara today. Bishlam alamanda amar menucha zushilo nachla zushalayim inami ipcha hainu dichsiv ala menucha vala nachla. So according to the first opinions that we saw this morning of Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Shimon, there are two terms. It's referring to two different bate mikdash, right? The shilo and the Yerushalayim. How you want to designate it, how you want to assign it, fine. You can debate that. But at least you have two terms. But according to Elaman Dharma Zubazu Shiloh, Zubazu Shalom, but according to the Tandabe Rabbi Shmuel, or according to the Rashbi, so why are there two terms? And the Gemara says Kasha. Okay, so the Gemara ends off by saying, I don't know, that's difficult, and that's a good question. Bishlam Elaman Dharma Zubazu Shiloh Menucha Danachu Mikivush Nachala Depalgu Hasam Nachalos Dichti Vayichalek Lahem Yoshua Vayapel Lahem Goral Bishilo Api Hashem. So the truth of the matter is that the Gemara says it is somewhat defensible that Shiloh is given both terms, Menucha Nachala, because it's really both. Menucha means we were conquering and we finally rested from conquering. And Nachala means it also helped us divide the land. So El Aman Dar Mezubazir Yishalayim Bishlam Nachala Nachala Salamin El Menucha My Menucha. But if both, according to the Rashbi, am I saying it right? Yeah. According to the Rashbi, that Menucha and Nachala are both going on Yerushalayim, so then what's the Nachala term? I understand, because Nachala means Nachala Salamim. It's forever there. But what does the Menucha speak to? So the Gemara says, Menucha speaks to Menuchas Aram. Right? I know this is going to sound like a repeat from what I said yesterday, but it just happens to be again. I go to my crack research team of Rashi, and Rashi says no such pasuk. It's mamish word for word what Rashi said in yesterday's daf. Right? Chipashti, I looked, v'lo matzasi, and I didn't find this pasuk. Gemara quotes a pasuk again that's not really found. But what the Gemara does, and I'm just helping understand Rashi a little bit better. Gemara just simply paraphrases, meaning there may not be an explicit pasuk that actually says what the Gemara just quoted. Vayhi kanoach Aaron. But what the Gemara is doing is the Gemara is just simply paraphrasing a pasuk. And v'imeinu b'ksuvim, Rashi, just finishing the Rashi, top Rashi, v'imeinu b'ksuvim yeshli mikra acher b'divrei hayamim. All right, but I do have a pasuk in divrei hayamim which somewhat models this pasuk. Right, Bishlamo Kuma Hashem Lokim Lenuchach Lenochach Atava Aaron Uzecha. Or Tosos gives other suggestions of what some other psukim are. But in other words, Menuchas Aaron. The Aaron settled in Yerushalayim, and that's the term Menucha. Okay. Bishlam Alaman Dharma Zubaz Yerushalayim Avashilo Hu Shaya Bamos Hainu Dichsiv. Look, if there's a heter Bamos during Shiloh, so we can explain a pasuk which should have been bothering us for the good part of this parak, which is Vaykach Manoch is Gidia Izim Vesamin Chavayal Alatzor La Hashem. So Manoch offers a karban, right, in his backyard, at a time when Shiloh was around. So how did Manoch do that? Now it is interesting, and the Gemara says this is going to be difficult if you don't agree with the Rashbi. This question could have been asked pages ago in the Gemara. Meaning, because look, we know, we've been pretty much assuming the whole parak that there's an Isser Bama during Shiloh. It's only the Rashbi who says that there's a Heter Bama. So the truth of the matter is that the Gemara really could have asked this question from the very beginning of the parak when the Gemara already took the position that there's an Isser Bama during Shiloh. Okay, but anyway, Vayikach Manoch is Gedi Yezim Vesem Mincha Vayal Atzor Lashem. Alaman Dar Mezuvazu Shiloh, but if you say that it's a reference to Shiloh, Menucha Nachla, and that there's an Isser Bamos during Shiloh, Uvamos Hava Asiran, my Vayikach Manoch. So, how can the Manoch do that? Ela Hora Asha Haisa. So the Gemara answers, okay, special dispensation, right? He was given a special allowance to offer carbon at that time. Okay. Similar answer the Gemara gave earlier, because he gave on a rock. And according to some opinions amongst the Tanayim, you can't use a rock. You have to actually have a square mizbeach. So how do you use a rock? So the Gemara gives a similar answer. Harash Aisa. Tan debe Rabbi Shmuel, ke Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Damer zubazu Yerushalayim. The Academy of Rabbi Shmuel agrees to the Rashbi. That both Menucha Nachla is a reference to Yerushalayim. So even though on the bottom of the previous Amud, we said that Debei Rabbi Shmuel says that this both reference to Shiloh, but they changed their tune. V'simancha, and the way to remember this is Mashche Gavra LeGavrei. Right? One person, meaning the Rashbi, pulls a whole school together with him. Meaning that, who's gonna argue with the Rashbi?
What do they do about the Temple
of Alexander? That's a very good point. Meaning now, if they jump sides, so then the base Chonya has nobody to base themselves on. That's a good point.
Historically, where did the Academy of Tanya come about?
Tanya Bailey. Oh,
yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Before Rashbi, after Rashbi.
I don't know. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll conclude. We'll finish the Masechta tomorrow. Okay, Friday, Menachos. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha, Marta Kashbach, Zakh, Zolfi, Chachir, Ben Tarmit, Shanema, Nechafetz, Amantzi, Koyagil, Tarbiyadir.